I would like your approval today to open a new bank account. The Woodlands of Millsboro, as you've heard, it is our newest sewer district that we will be building. The referendum passed in June, and I would be recommending to open our new construction account with Delaware National Bank. They do have the highest interest rate right now. This will be a temporary account. This will just cover the cost of building the construction, and once it's built, it will be closed out. They have sufficient collateral, and this would add some diversification to our existing cash structure of banks, local banks.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Webb? You have a motion?
I have a resolution.
Resolution.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the authorization of the payment from funds of the Sussex County Council on deposit with the Delaware National Bank bearing the signatures of any two of Vance Phillips, President, George B. Cole, Vice President, or Susan M. Webb, Finance Director. And a signature may be a facsimile provided one life signature is on check or withdrawal for the Woodlands of Millsboro Sewer Construction Account.
I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second to approve the resolution read by Ms. Webb. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Neighbor?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries. Ms. Webb?
The next thing is a sort of like a public notification of application as suggested by Rural Development Agency for three projects that we have been invited to apply for wastewater funding. All three of these you've heard of before in different scenarios, different process of the projects. The first one is the Oak Orchard expansion, and I'm just going to let you know about the three of them. There's no action required on your part, but it is just a public notification and just an up-to-date on the projects that we'll be applying for project funding. The Oak Orchard expansion, which is an expansion of the existing sewer district, this will be treated at the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility. 855 users are expected, and it's to be completed around the spring of 2011. Project costs are estimated at $16 million. We'll be receiving federal and state loans and grants, and part of this is included in the state stimulus package for us. The next project, Pump Station 30 in Force, Maine. This is an extensive renovation, which increases because of the size and the age of the existing pump station. And it's a construction of a parallel force main to the Scruff treatment plant. This serves the Fenwick Island Sewer District, including Americana Bayside, and will be the new Johnson's Corner Sewer District will be served by that. This is to be completed in June of 2010. The projected costs are $12.8 million. This will be one half funded by RD and one half funded by existing connection fees the county has been collecting over time. And the third project we will be applying for is the Woodlands of Millsboro, which is a new sewer district, which I just will be opening up an account for. 57 lots in a subdivision with failing on-site treatment disposal system. The wastewater will be treated by the town of Millsboro. The project is expected to cost $1.2 million and will be funded with a federal grant and loan and state grant, and also will be using stimulus funding. Just an up-to-date on this project.
Thank you for that update. Any questions for Ms. Webb? If not, we'll move on to the public hearing scheduled for 3:30. Mr. Robertson, you're going to conduct.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of Council, give me 1 second so I can. This is the public hearing on the ordinance to adopt Chapter 96, Sussex Community Improvements to facilitate the improvement of streets and roadways owned and controlled by homeowners associations, property owners and owners association, and condominium associations. As I discussed with council when it was introduced, basically this simply codifies a past practice of county government to operate a community street and road improvement program for different existing developments. Previously, it was in Title IX, and it jumped back and forth between the state and DelDOT and the county as to how it was administered, and it was cumbersome. We're not establishing really per se a new program. We're just establishing the program that's currently been underway in the Sussex County Code. And I understand from Ms. Deptula, who's here this afternoon, that there's quite a few local communities that would like to avail themselves of this new method. Same program, just a new method within the county code. Just a brief overview to qualify. There must be 5 separate and distinct property owners, 500 linear feet of road surface. The county engineer has to determine that it's reasonably and economically capable of being improved. It has to have direct access to a road, which is part of the DLDOT road system, and have a legally established property owners association or condominium association. I've had some discussions with folks that are interested in this program, and I think there was a concern maybe expressed about that fifth requirement. Just so council knows why that's in there, if we're going to put new roads in through county engineering and go through this process, we need to make sure that there's some method that it's going to be maintained in perpetuity. So that's the reason for that. What would happen if somebody wants to, or a community wants to avail themselves of the program? They would submit a petition to the county and follow the process set forth in the ordinance. Each property, as I think I described before, gets one vote. So that means if you're a single lot, you get a vote. And as we discussed before with the ordinance, if you have a tax parcel that contains more than one buildable lot, each buildable lot gets a vote. That was sort of the method of sort of allocating fairness among the various property owners. As far as the assessments, there's a limitation that it wouldn't be less than 40 feet front footage assessment, nor more than 100 feet of front footage assessment. The assessments, again, are the way that the debt for improving the roads is repaid over a period of, I think it's 10 to 15 years. That's what typically the county's done. It's really, I think, a good program and a straightforward program, and one that, as I said, I think a lot of communities will avail themselves of. And again, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're just trying to codify it in the county code at this point. So,
any questions for Mr. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
I hate to bring this up again, but I'm not sure I understand the rationale in setting a limit of 100 feet. If somebody has more front footage than that, why shouldn't they pay for that? Second question while you're right there. Item 3, under front footage measurements, a lot or parcel on 2 or more streets shall be assessed the shortest measurement.
That's the way they've always done it, Mike, when they started with the sewer assessments. And I mean, I know Mike's out there, but that's it was.
I don't understand why.
Mike, could you come forward, please?
Yeah, I mean, give us some.
I don't understand why you shouldn't pay for what your lot size is.
Well, I would say part of that may go back to the zoning code, which talks about your front of your lot is the shortest distance as well.
So. The two things. The one where if it's on 2 streets, you actually have some occurrences where you might have a lot that has frontage on 2 streets. And just trying to provide some level of fairness and try to get some, I'll take Susie's term, uniformity of rates. We find that if we only bill one side, the shortest side, it puts the lot more in tune with the other users in the neighborhood.
Mike, here's what it is. If you're living, here's 3 lots, us 3 guys, you got to go by mine to get to yours.
Yeah.
Right. But you only really, to get to my house, you may have only had to go to halfway. But to get to the next guy's house, you got to go further. So after a while, you just kind of, that's why Georgetown does unit pricing. Maybe that's why Seaford, because front footage charges are not equitable and hit people differently in the same community. So neighbors could have, one neighbor, because he's on a cul-de-sac, could have a house, you know, the value could be 10 times something. Guy could be living in a little small house next to it, but have a much greater frontage and be paying a tremendous amount. So we tried to bring, like he said, it was trying to bring some equity and some uniformity. So we were bringing, look, the bottom and the top together.
A little closer.
A little closer, just to make everybody more equal.
And having run a lot of these public hearings for these different communities, those are the biggest complaints we get. And generally, the other residents in the community support this point of view.
Yeah. So it's pretty much been accepted policy for 30 years. So I don't know what to, other to tell you that was part of the
That's fine.
Reasoning.
Any other questions for Mr. Izzo or Mr. Robertson?
This would include, Mike, I know in like Bayview Park, I think it was, they did some bulkheading.
Bayview Park, yeah.
Right? You did some bulkheading. So now you can do some drainage, you can do some of these other things?
Sidewalks, bulkheading, stormwater is a big deal.
Stormwater's another one?
We've done a lot of stormwater.
Underground utilities, could you help with that, or is that?
We've talked about that. The concern about us getting involved with the utilities is, like, if it was electric, we have one community, and we felt like we'd have to go into homes, disconnect their electric, and then make a new connection to the underground electric, and we were a little concerned about our liability in that case.
But pretty much other things like drainage and bulkheading and...
And certainly I think there'd be a coordination on these projects if we could do the same thing where there's the road disturbance at the same time that a utility company's doing.
And the communities pay for this. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't affect the rest of the tax base. That's the nice thing about this program, Mike, if anybody ever calls you. It just affects that subdivision.
Well, no, I understand that.
And that's excellent way for these people over 20 years or whatever it is to pay for something.
I have a question.
Ms. Deaver?
You said legally established homeowner association. Are there state laws that govern this? How is that determined? Are there county laws that determine what homeowner association is a legal one? How do you determine?
I don't know if, Lawrence, you deal with the homeowners association. Do they incorporate? Is that how? There has to be some form of governing body in the community. That's what we're looking for.
Can they form one?
Yeah.
Right. The developer forms foundation of the association by recording it at the time they record the lot when they do subdivision. And as they sell lots, the person becomes a membership based on the way it's written into that document. There's a lot of different things, and they're all seem to be a little different.
Mm-hmm. Because we've had
a legal binding document.
We recently had a situation where one signed off on some plans, and other members say that person didn't have any right to do, you know, they get into problems. Mm-hmm. And there's really no uniformity.
Well, what this really helps is some of the real old subdivisions that, like, I live in an old subdivision that has no homeowners association.
Me too.
And we would, for instance, we would have to create something, right? Before we could venture into this new ordinance, mm-hmm. right?
And that pulls right from Title IX. That language is that requirement's in Title IX already in the existing program. And you know, it's not as though that you have to go do a full-blown homeowners association. You need, you know, with restrictive covenants about house sizes and what you can do and not do mm-hmm. with your property. It's just so that there's a means and mechanism for maintaining these streets. That's the requirement for this. Mm-hmm. So.
Any other questions before we turn to the public? Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Well, I just, one more. If the homeowner association falls apart, the individuals still pay on the bond mm-hmm. individually, and you can still collect, and it still can
That's true.
Be viable. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're attaching it to their tax. Right,
absolutely. That wouldn't affect
it's all,
going
okay,
forward.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any members of the public here who would like to speak to this ordinance?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Please come forward. Your name and your address.
Rocco Lano, Wilmington, Delaware. One of the board directors of Plantation Park 1. I'm on the president of Plantation Park 2, but I'm here to get some information and hopefully get something moving. For about the last 3 years, I've been dealing, working with Patty Deptula, the engineering department, trying to see if we can get our roads in Plantation Park 1 paved with some assistance or whatever. Over the years, we found out, of course, that it's just about impossible for the homeowners or the lot owners to come forth with monies at one time. An outside contractor to pave, blacktop the roads in a park, we guesstimated it would cost around $425,000. Breaking that down with 318 lot owners in the park, generally $1,500 a lot owner. with the advent of the sewer, which finally came in, thank you, it's kind of hard for these people to come up with $1,500 because majority of them live on a fixed income. So I was thinking, okay, if we can't go with an outside contractor, let's see if I can get some help for the state. The state, of course, had the Chapter 9, or Title 9. I made so many phone calls, but thankfully, with Patty Deptula's help and Mr. Izzo, thank you, Sussex County came in with this proposed Chapter 96. Basically the same as what the state has, but the county wants to get into it now. And what I was hoping for is to get a proposal of what it would actually cost so I can present it to our membership. Of course, then we'll vote on it, and then we can move forward. And, you know, right now it's, you know, my understanding was if the county got involved and did this, then they would break down the price per lot owner, and then we can present it, they would vote, and then, you know, because it's the biggest complaint right now in a park. We have about 3.5 miles of crusher run stone, and at this time of year is really, really dusty. You can't leave the windows open. It's really unhealthy. Right. And the only, you know, time it's great is when Mother Nature rains on us. But
so by your comments, you support this ordinance?
Oh, definitely.
So this will help you. What we're trying to propose here, we'll get this something for Plantation Park, and then your owners will know about when they still have to vote on it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
But it's
thank
an affordable.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Saying.
Thank you for coming.
Gentleman in the back.
My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Store Road, Greenwood. I've got a real question on this, how you want to go back charging, because these guys want to think about this. If you got front footage, you're going to have one guy paying little or nothing, and then you got the guy with 100 foot, he's going to be paying a big price, and the same thing applied when your sewer thing. Now you got the opportunity to make a difference to where you charge everybody the same price, divided equally amongst all of them, and nobody gets charged more than anybody else. That's
unit,
the only
fair. Unit pricing you're referring
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Right. No, I agree with you. I like
because there is no other way to truly be fair. And you've already got a problem with sewage. Here's the time, and that section ought to be completely voted out and put in there as a unit pricing. Remove the whole page.
Any other members of the public? Yes, sir.
My name is Hugh Dolan. My temporary residence is at 2 Reba Road, Millville, Delaware. I'm speaking on behalf of a couple of us own lots in a small subdivision, but that has sewer. We can't access the sewer because the road is not paved. And the cost of paving the road is about $60,000, according to Teal, who put the sewer in. But to get people to put money together for that just didn't work, even when I offered to pay half of it myself. But this ordinance you've come up with just seems to me to be awfully complicated for a one-shot deal. You're looking to pave a street. You got 9 pages of close typewritten, all sorts of exceptions, and then I termed it the lawyer's lunch program. It's not going to provide for any retirement, but most people are going to have to, small groups, hire a lawyer to form a corporation, which they're then going to ignore for the rest of their life. It's not going to do the county any good to try to find them. I mean, you don't want to get in the road business. I can understand that. But you're in the road business. To what extent, you can keep trying to limit. But we only have 12 lots. Well, a couple have been split. There's 14. 8.5 went to a developer who didn't buy the roads. So the roads still belong to the deceased developer. And how do we address something like that? I've followed the three attempts that are here, and the 17 people who have asked Mr. Puller about what's going on and the number of people she's got there, but we just, it doesn't quite fit us. Why not have the planning and zoning, in our case, compel the estate of the deceased developer to do it? They live in the adjacent property there. I understand, I mean, not everyone is a hangman of established reputation, the reputation I bore, and nobody wants to go after a 90-year-old widow, but that estate, which is still open, just never did what it was supposed to do. That's one avenue. Another one, I think the simple thing is to just have Mr. Izzo hold a public hearing and go ahead, pave the road, and assess each of us for the cost of paving the road. We shouldn't need an extensive set of rules or other costs. And you're going to come across, I think you're going to come across a number of other things like this. Up till now, what has been happening, one or two owners in small subdivisions that didn't get paved get stuck with the whole bill. And it doesn't make for good community relations, and it may get the paving done, but that's not fair. And while I was ready to go halfway myself just to get this taken care of, I finally changed my mind and said, no, you've got to change the ordinance and make it spread over everybody. And you've done that, or you're doing that. But how do you take care of the little subdivisions still owned by developers who won't contribute or won't vote for it? I don't know exactly. But I think it could be uncomplicated by just authorizing Mr. Izzo. He's not the easiest guy in the world to get along with, I think.
We've heard that.
But and I don't mean to attack him in any sense. He's got a
we'll
really
take him to the
job.
Woodshed after the meeting, sir. We'll take him.
He's got a really tough job,
yeah.
And he does it, from what I see, very well. The sewers work fine.
Mr. Dolan, we don't like the county government. We've never compelled people to do things. That's like sounds like a nice word for, you know, condemning property and forcing people to do things. And so we have always hesitated to do that, and it is going to still be private roads. So we have to have a mechanism in here that when we give you these roads through this county program, that there's going to be some mechanism there for people to take care of them after.
Well,
that. It might bring you all together.
All of this is a paper, you know, 20 years later, that people aren't
even going to be
the same.
But everybody's paying for it. Everybody's got a piece of it, a little bit, I guess. But
well, you hope for that, but structurally, I don't see how that is going to be, and how we in this situation in Birdhaven can start the thing going. We'll try again, but three houses are in this 12 lot subdivision already. Now those people have no indication, particularly since they're all caught up in this two road business and they front on a road that's already paved. You know, you've got to either through the planning and zoning or the variance board allow for maybe smaller numbers, but you've got a sewer in there that you want paid for. It's not a very big sewer, but that ought to be paid for. And the only way we're going to get it paid for is if you let us build on the road. We'd like to have it paid, but if not, then just let people build on unpaved roads.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Another gentleman on the left? Yes.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Salvatore Fischera. I represent the Lockwood Homeowners Association. We have a severe drainage problem being relocated on Burton Pond, and we need your help desperately. Along with a 20-year-old subdivision, the roads are in pretty bad condition. So I urge
you. Think this will work?
Work perfectly.
It'll work, all right.
Perfect. We need your help badly.
You folks going to get together on this?
Yeah. Excuse me?
Are you folks going to get together on this now?
I hope so.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We're going to try it again.
I hope so, too.
Thank you very, very much. I urge the council to pass this Chapter 96.
All right.
Thank you
very much.
Gentlemen, yes, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Ron Shoup. I'm also with the Lockwood Development. Mm-hmm. I have a couple questions. Number one, you had mentioned 100 foot. Well, most our frontage is 75 foot. Would we still have to pay for the 100 foot, or would we pay to 75?
Please come forward.
No, that's just a maximum. So the ceiling's 100 feet. If you're 75 feet, you pay the 75.
Okay, I wanted that clarified.
If somebody had 110 feet, they would only pay on 100 feet. That's only anybody less pays on what they got. Okay,
I got that. And also, the gentleman that was a little upset, I think these people have done a wonderful job. Patty and Mike, they've done a great job for us, and we had your service once before. Unfortunately, we had our vote during the week. If we had our vote on the weekend where we had everybody down, I'm sure it would have passed. Mm. And we really need your assistance and look forward to working with you. And
we'll see if we can get Patty to work on a weekend.
Patty works very hard.
We have to renegotiate her contract.
Patty works very hard, and as you all do, and we would appreciate your assistance.
We can't afford you overtime.
In this matter, well, I can't volunteer to pay for it. I'm on retired income.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Others, ma'am?
This is a new development.
Mr. President, council members, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Jerry Buckley. I live at 729 Deer Leap in Bethany. I am president of the Salt Pond Homeowners Association. We are a community of 536 individual homeowners. We're a mixed community with individual homes and townhouses. We have 6.5 miles of paved roads presently in our community. We are 15 plus years old, and the developer obviously put down the minimum amount of road work when he built it. 2 years ago, he turned the community over to the homeowners, and we have not had an opportunity to build our reserve funds. We've had an engineering company come in and give us an estimate of $1.5 to $6 million at the present cost of petroleum to do the roads. A number of our homeowners are on fixed incomes, and we desperately need, we estimate we have about another year or two for the roads. We have applied. We sent a letter to Mr. Izzo. We met with Patty about a year ago, knowing that this was going to come before the council. We are very much in support of this ordinance. We desperately need the help in these economic times. To have to assess our homeowners, I don't know that we would be able to get them with this kind of money. We have a very, very active homeowners association. We are incorporated, and I know that we would be able to get the complete support of our homeowners. Mm-hmm. And I thank you very much for whatever attention you give to this matter.
Thank you very much. Gentlemen, please.
My name is Jim Freeman, and I'm the president of the Bay Colony Homeowners Association. We've got about 300 homes and undeveloped lots of about 80 more.
What is your address?
It's 34814 Stream Court in Dagsboro, 19939. I had a couple of questions in listening to the presentation, and I was wondering, assuming that there are quite a few communities who want to do this, are you going to be able to accommodate all of them at any one time, or will there be some form of prioritization that you have to go through? I mean, you sound like there are a lot of people ready to go tomorrow.
Yes.
And I don't know what your bonding limits are, but I wouldn't think it'd be right to lead people on to think this is going to be available if indeed you're going to have to prioritize it in some way.
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of our hierarchy here can answer it. Have you thought about it?
First of all, there is a process, as you may be aware, with a petition and a referendum and then county council approval, then there's a bidding process and whatnot, and of course the financing process. But we feel comfortable that we will be able to finance these projects.
Even if a lot of them come at once?
Yes.
Okay. I'd be interested to see what your financial sheet looks like. Is this a one-time only deal, or are people going to be able to come back in 15 more years and do it again?
No limit.
Okay. What about the maintenance? I was very confused by the statement that there'd be perpetual maintenance. Who determines what is acceptable maintenance or not?
Well, I think that the maintenance is going to be the obligation of the community. That's the county's not going to be in the maintenance business. But what the county wants to do is see that there's at least some organization there to take care of that maintenance going forward.
But I mean, who determines what kind of maintenance is required? That's my question.
You all would.
Yeah, you all would. State code currently says that there just has to be a means and mechanism for the maintenance. I think that's what the county's going to look for. I don't know that they're going to get into any detailed analysis of.
All right, so no one's going to come into our community and say you have a pothole over there and you got to fill it tomorrow?
No, no.
All right.
No, we will, though, Vince. We will, after a project is done, our inspectors will go in, we'll sign off on it, and then we turn it over to them, right, because they will. They'll be private roads, will be your roads, and then we're out of the picture, right?
Right.
That's the way this ordinance is.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, as I understand it, most of these roads in these communities are not up to state standards, so they couldn't go over to DLDOT. But would this program be available to have people use this money to bring them up to state standards?
Mike's got his hand up back there. Hang on a minute.
The way that the program is set up, the community has two choices. They're coming to us now because they're already private. If they were already DLDOT maintained, they wouldn't be coming to us.
Gotcha.
So they can stay private, and because of, you know, we can put together a specification that's lesser than a state standard, the cost would be less to the homeowners. However, if they want to go through the process and upgrade their roads to state standards, we then contact DLDOT, and they tell us how thick the hot mix has to be and what other upgrades would have to be performed to bring them to DLDOT standards. But again, the cost for doing that will be higher than just bringing your roads up to a passable standard that could be maintained. If we're going to finance it for 15 years, then we like to put in a road that's going to last for 15 years.
Mm-hmm. My question, Mike, would be is if we built, say, Bay Colony wanted state standard roads, we build them that way, and then the state doesn't accept them.
Now,
any guarantee that the state will accept them?
Give us a specification, and they are involved in the inspection process as well. Cedar Landing, which is not too far from your home,
right.
We upgraded the state standards. We have a process in place that does work.
Okay.
Was it very different as far as grading and that type of thing?
It wasn't so much degrading, it's things like driveway pipes that they want, you know, because as it is today in a private subdivision, this gentleman might put in a metal pipe that's 12 inches, and his neighbor, you know, down the street might put in a plastic pipe that's 8 inches, and that's not going to satisfy DLDOT. So you have to do upgrades like that.
All right, another question was on your process here. You're going to get an estimate from your county engineer, and then you're going to have everybody sign off on that and agree to do this. Then you're going to let out the bids. Now, what happens when the bids come back 50% more than your estimate?
Well, that hasn't happened to date. But for me to award a bid, I would have to come in just like any other county project. And I can't see our county council awarding a bid that's 50% higher, you know, when the residents expected something that was $500,000, and we come in with a contract award that's $900,000, I don't believe the county council.
Unless there's testimony saying
right.
That we'll take it.
We'll take it.
Right. I mean, you'll be involved. It'll be an open meeting, and the public will be.
Oh, no, this is after that, though. I think there's no provision here for a meeting after you sent out the contracts for bid.
We would have a process. So we would still be in communication with you, and that's how we've done it in the past. And in reality, you know, hot mix jobs are pretty straightforward. There's not a lot of variables other than the price of asphalt.
Okay. On the unit pricing versus your assessments, I don't quite understand why you would even think about using the front footage. I mean, my neighbor has, we're on a cul-de-sac. My neighbor has about a 35 to 40 foot frontage. I'm on the edge of the cul-de-sac, so my property goes all the way around the edge of the cul-de-sac and all around the side of the road. But there's no difference in our use of the roads. We both use exactly the same roads, exactly the same degree, and it just seems to me unit pricing is a much more sensible way to go on these things, especially since you're doing it community by community, and communities tend to be fairly homogeneous. So I would really urge you to think twice about doing the footage thing. I know it's the traditional way to do it with the sewers. I'm not sure that's particularly good either.
No, it isn't. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I think the unit footage is really, the unit pricing is really
the last council,
a smarter
they
way
they were
to go.
Slow learners. I'm hoping this new group will catch on.
The eternal optimist.
Sam's the only one I'm worried about. But
maybe we should charge more for those that live the furthest out, because they're going to use more of the road to guide that lives right next to the highway.
Well, like in a community like mine, we have two entrances, and everybody seems to have one main road that connects the two entrances, goes all the way through the community. So I think everybody pretty much uses the whole thing.
Are you talking about per home?
Yes, that each home would pay the same.
Each dwelling?
You just divide it up and you divide it into equal number of people and everybody pays the same.
But each lot, essentially.
Most communities do that.
You can't say dwelling because you might have townhomes and condominiums.
Sure, that's true. Like the one gentleman here said he has a mix of townhomes and salt pond.
Most do it.
But I mean, it just seems to me the front footage is not the best way to go on that.
Anything else, sir?
The only other question I had was on the calculating the costs. Is it just going to be the contractor's cost, or is there going to be a component in there for recouping administrative costs by the county?
Yeah, there's county administration costs because, for example, you know, Patty's got to work that Saturday. We got to pay her salary. So, yeah, we do accumulate the county cost as well. We would have advertising costs. There could be some cases where... In most cases, we can compile the plans and specs in-house, but if things become complicated, if you do have sophisticated stormwater, it has to be done, we might have to sub that out, or at the very least, we might have to do a survey. So there are other costs beyond construction, but there's no real markup included. It's all just exact costs that are accumulated.
Well, I think my association, you know, really thinks this is an important bill. We would like some of those questions dealt with, but we're looking, too. We're 25 years old, and some of our roads are 20 years, 25 years old, and some are 5 years old. But I think we've had one of your people come out and look at them and tell us that we might be looking at $5 million at some point down the road, and we don't have $5 million. And if I try to raise the dues enough to accumulate $5 million, we'd have a lot of lynchings. So we're looking for a system like this that will enable us to spread those costs over time, and I think it's a good program if we can do it right.
Okay.
Trust in you all to do that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I think I saw a hand. Yes, sir.
You can stay there. I have a question.
Everybody likes Mike.
Except for the one. My name is Jim Harding, and I'm president of the Ocean Farms Homeowners Association.
And your address,
I live
please?
At 90 Neptune Drive.
Thank you.
Our community, and we're 100% supportive of Chapter 96. My question is that part of our community is an older community. And so it's the first section by the first developer, and we have a new developer that came in. Now, if the first section needs to be repaired, and we need to be resurfaced, and we go to that program and it goes through. But the newer section, we don't need anything at the present time. Can we come back 5 years or 10 years from now and have that other section then taken care of?
Yeah, you can actually set up a program that matches the phases of the community. If you have three phases and only two phases need the roads, then you could set up a boundary, a geographic boundary that only addresses those two phases. Then only those folks in those two phases would pay for the improvements though.
Okay, and then the next phase, you got that group.
Then they would come back.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Any other comments from the public? If not, we will close the public hearing. Does the council have any further comments for Mr. Robertson, Mr. Izzo, Ms. Duke?
I do have one quick comment to follow up. We did hear about unit pricing twice from two people. I will say this, that I support unit pricing, but I know we would have to amend the ordinance and we'd start over and we'd draw it out. Could you tell us how we could change it in the future if there is a consensus with the council to address the front footage versus unit pricing, maybe in other ordinances within the county? Is there?
Well, I think there's obviously the way to do it would be through an ordinance amendment, which is simple enough to do if there's a consensus to do that. We can come back and revisit it. That's not difficult.
Okay. That's the least difficult. But to redo this again, we would have to...
You'd have to re-advertise it and put it back on another...
Right. And that could get more complicated.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Robertson. If the counts... Do you have anything
else? No, I just didn't know if there's any other questions.
I don't think so. Seems to be a degree of comfort with it. Mr. Moore, would you be reading the title?
Yes, an ordinance to adopt Chapter 96, Sussex Community Improvements to facilitate the improvement of streets and roadways owned and controlled by homeowners associations, property owners associations, and condominium associations.
Make a motion that we adopt the ordinance.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance. Is there any further discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, everyone. Mr. Godwin.
Made progress here finally.
Mr. President, members of council, this
Godwin,
afternoon.
Mr. Godwin, let's take a 1 minute recess.
Okay.
Thank
sure.
you.
Sit tight, everybody.
Hey.
It's a minute and a half.
You gotta go to the bathroom.
What do you think about
that? That's being so complicated.
Yeah, that's
the best way to go.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about people.
We should change the unit pricing.
Mike needs to put, I guess, in some kind of written form, so as everybody come in, it'll be the same.
I mean, if you got a development, then I mean, obviously, it's 60 blocks of them.
Like where I'm at. We got nothing but a little bit.
Don't go far, Mr. Cole.